Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Michael Bond was director of the White House Situation Room under President Ronald Reagan. He's currently a freelance contributor to the Washington Post magazine, as well as the Tribune News Service. He's also author of the book Nerve Center, Inside the White House Situation Room, and the brand new book, Presidents in Crisis, Tough Decisions Inside the White House from Truman to Obama. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Bond to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
What led you to this particular topic of looking at presidents in crisis?
I had the good fortune of being the director of the White House Situation Room during the second Reagan administration. And 12, 14 years ago, I wrote my first book, a book about the sit room. It's a history and description of the Situation Room's operations. It's the president's intelligence center, not just a conference room. And that led to further stories, long pieces for the Washington Post magazine, McClatchy newspapers, that sort of thing. And I thought, gee, I ought to look at more than just one or two crises. I ought to see if there's some lessons to be learned by looking at 65 years worth of crisis management. And here I am.
What exactly, and tell us from your experience, and if that position has changed over time, of what a director of the Situation Room does?
I happen to believe that the sit room is the most important room and the most important building in the world. It's absolutely essential to the working presidency. And it started in 1961 with Kennedy. And its primary purpose was to funnel communications or intelligence and diplomatic reporting to the president, which he didn't really have much of before that. It used to come over by courier from state or the Pentagon. And it created the operational presidency because it allowed the president to take the reins of the government and drive the ship, drive the carriage. And so it's first and foremost his intelligence center, his alert center. The staff works 24/7, just like they do now, just like they did in 1985 and 87 when I was there. And they write summaries of world events for the president and the staff, and they arrange for phone calls between heads of state. And they're just the 7-Eleven of the West Wing, if you will.
So you got a heck of a Rolodex out of the deal.
Right. And so there's probably 35 to 40 people on the staff, five people working 24/7 on different shifts, different teams, some day workers, and then the director obviously coordinates the whole show. And when I was there, I worked for the National Security Advisor.
What qualifies as a situation? What brings everyone together into that room?
Well, you know, it can be just a regular old meeting room, but the history and the culture of it is a sort of a focus during a crisis because it's hard to get into, a lot of locks, soundproof, closed off the windows. The president can get in there with his advisors, look him in the eye, and ask, what do I do now? And now they have greater tools available than they did in the past. You can beam in the helmet cam video from the Bin Laden raid, for example, or the overhead from the drones on a strike. But most importantly, it allows a place for the president to be in counsel with his advisors and try to figure out what to do next.
So in writing the book, you wanted to not just draw on your experience, but look at crises throughout presidential history, as the subtitle of the book indicates, from Truman to Obama. What fascinated you, or what criteria were you looking at for specific situations?
That's a good question, because I picked 17 crises. And I wanted to start with the modern presidency, which is FDR, but World War II was too big. So I started with Truman and the North Korean invasion of the South in 1950. And obviously wanted to take it all the way through to the present. But I couldn't do every crisis, but I wanted to do at least one for each president. There's been 12 in that period, 6 Republican and 6 Democrat, and that was a nice little even split. So I tried to select a crisis that first was unanticipated. This is the 3 a.m. phone call. And second was illustrative. And so I got one for every president. Reagan, I had 3. Johnson, 2. Obama, 2. That sort of thing. And some of them were easy. 9/11, 2001, obviously had to be on the list.
Right. When it comes to the Situation Room, I mean, you talk about this in the book, but there are actually several rooms, right? And it's all an offshoot of the Oval Office.
Well, it's downstairs from the Oval Office. Oval Office is on the first floor, and the sit room has always been, quote, in the basement, unquote. But it's in the walkout portion of the basement. I had a window in my office. They still have windows in the sit room. They're just covered up. And it started out pretty modest, just a little communication center. And then they added a conference room. And for the longest time, they just had one conference room, a communications area, a watch officer area, and a lobby. And then I added a second conference room when I was there that had video teleconferencing in it. And when they redid the whole complex in 2006, they created 3 conference rooms because they sort of annexed some additional space there on the ground floor. So there's the watch center, the communications area, which is where they connect everything, 3 conference rooms. There's 2 little sort of Clark Kent telephone booths that you can step into and have a private telephone conversation. And then they have little cubbies built into the wall to put your cell phone when you go inside.
So certainly technology has had an impact on this room.
Oh, indeed. They started out with teletypes, and now it's all computer to computer, obviously. And you can turn over to one monitor and look at the Internet and then switch back over and read top secret CIA cables on another one.
It seems that if there is a commonality between these situations, one of the themes, at least, is that there is a threat of escalation, that we're looking at a situation at any given time that can possibly get worse.
You betcha. And most people point to the Cuban Missile Crisis as the one that came closest to that. And Kennedy handled it doggone well. He really did a good job. Very cautious, took incremental steps, and talked to Khrushchev and ultimately made a deal with him to defuse the crisis. But every president goes into one of these things, this 3 a.m. phone call business, thinking that he wants to take bold and aggressive action. But there are a number of factors that cause him to step back a little bit. And escalation from a crisis to war to even nuclear holocaust is something on the mind of every president, and he has to be careful, especially during the Cold War and more recently since the new beginning of the Cold War.
Of course, Truman famously had the sign on his desk, "The buck stops here." But there are many other people in that room that offer guidance and suggestions to the President of the United States.
You bet. And it varies from president to president who he brings in there. Foremost, there's always a concern for leaks. And so a lot of presidents restrict the attendance in those meetings. And as a result, they can fall victim to groupthink, where everybody believes the same thing and there's no devil's advocate in there to say, whoa, that's not such a good idea. And then other presidents have big groups and they bring in their political advisors and that. It just varies with the style of a president. Bush 41, for example, liked to work in his private office with 2 or 3 people. And other presidents had more of a gaggle. And it's a two-edged sword. You want a good cross-section of advice, but at the same token, you don't want it to turn into designing a horse by a committee and end up with a camel.
Do you think it's just because we live in the age that we live in, but is it, can a case be made that there seem to be more crises now per capita than there was?
If you listen to Lindsey Graham and John McCain, you betcha. But before I answer that, I have to tell you that every president in a crisis has had people on the sideline barking about what he ought to be doing instead
right.
of what he is doing.
Right.
Because that's just part of Washington. And political opponents like to score points in a crisis, period. So that's nothing new. But here's the trick. It's gotten more complex. In the old days of the Cold War, you could pursue a fairly consistent doctrine of containment, for example, with the Soviets and the Chinese. Nowadays, with the multipolar war that we have, the complex globalism, it's much more complicated, and it cries out for caution. In fact, of the 17 crises that I looked at, only two presidents solved them successfully with bold action, and those have asterisks on the file. Eight presidents solved the crisis with cautious action. Two presidents made a mess out of a crisis with cautious action, and five presidents made a mess out of a crisis with bold action. So even in the last 65 years, cautious approach to crisis management has succeeded more often than aggressive solutions. And I have to give President Obama credit for being patient and trying to be cautious despite all the cries from the sideline.
It does seem, though, again, and politics aside, which I know is difficult, but when we look at just off the top of my head of the Ukraine, Iran, Israel, Iraq, Afghanistan, Jordan, the trouble spots in the world, Egypt, Greece, of so many different crises and so many different things that need to be addressed. And to your point of how this globalization has really brought all of these together in one way or another.
Yes, the world's more complicated. And not to overgeneralize, today's enemy could be an ally tomorrow. Barack Obama needs Putin to help with Iran's nuclear program, but he doesn't need Putin to help with the Syrian civil war.
Right.
And on and on. It's not that simple, per se. But the old days of the United States of America creating the solution or thrusting the solution on somebody else is very difficult because we need the help from allies to do a lot of things. Now, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I'm just a good observer of crisis management at the White House. And coalitions and group actions and caution seem to do a lot better than the old John Wayne version of America handling a crisis.
Your background is career naval intelligence officer. Is that the best background for being a manager of the Situation Room?
Well, probably not. I was experienced in running a operational intelligence center, which is what the SIT Room is. And I was a political science major in grad school and was also a political military specialist within the Navy. And what I brought to the SIT Room was just the process of being organized and paying attention, and most importantly, being able to handle multiple source integration, integrating multiple sources and sensors into a coherent judgment, which is what we provided to the president twice a day. And so for years, it was run by CIA people. And I was recruited by John Poindexter, who said, I just want to get somebody in there that understands the military side of the world as well as the political. And so what they do now is rotate the directorship between State Department, CIA, the services, which is great because each person brought a Bubba net, as we used to call it, into the SIT Room, your personal connections around town. I brought my connections to the Pentagon.
Michael Bond is the author of Presidents in Crisis, Tough Decisions Inside the White House from Truman to Obama. The book is published by Arcade. Michael Bond, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Well, it was a pleasure. Pleasure talking to you.
Great pleasure here. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Presidents in Crisis, Tough Decisions Inside the White House from Truman to Obama.
The book is published by Arcade Publishing. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.